Dear Lord, we are so grateful and thankful, Father, that you're so good to us. We thank you, Lord God, that you have always provided for us and you have given to us, Lord God, everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. So we just pray, Lord God, your blessings will be upon those who have given and those who have wanted to give. And we pray, dear God, that you would use these monies in any order that you see fit. For you are holy and righteous, and you always do what is good for all of us. So we give thanks to you, Father, for your blessings of life, of peace, and liberty, and your financial gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm not going to be too long today. What I'm going to talk about today, most of us, you know, basically kind of already know what I'm going to discuss. But I think at times we sometimes forget who we are in Christ Jesus, and we begin to think of ourselves in ways that that Jesus did not intend for us to think of ourselves. We understand that from creation that God created us to be like himself. He created us to be in his image and in his likeness. And we also understand that Adam, through his disobedience to God, we lost that very important part, okay, of our lives. When Adam took of that tree, ate of that fruit, we all began to decline. It was a moral decline as well as a physical decline. So we became a people who became enemies of God. We became a people who decided that we did not want to follow God's laws and commands anymore, but we decided we can go about our lives and doing things the way that we wanted to do them. And in that process, God became distant from us. But at the same time, God also did not become so distant from us that he did not provide a way for us to be redeemed, a way for us to be restored, to get back to where we were supposed to be. Even though we may not have been thinking that way because we were independent from God, God was. So for many of us, if not all of us, throughout all of our entire lives, the only thing that we considered was ourselves. We did not think about the other person unless the other person was thinking about us. We became selfish, not selfless. We became hateful, not full of love. We became the very opposite of what God wanted us to be. So if we could open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. And let's begin with verse 12. We're going to kind of be jumping around somewhat a little bit. And I have a lot of scriptures that I want to talk about today. Most of which I'm just going to give to you so you can get in there and just go back and look at them for yourselves. But with Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. It reads, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." 13, "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless," verse 14, "nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Now, right here, I know a lot of people that I've listened to and a lot of different, you know, I guess you can say rebuttals to what God allowed to happen. A lot of people always say that what Adam did should not have anything to do with us. And those people simply don't understand the way things work spiritually, the way things work, you know, from a heavenly standpoint. Yeah, we did not disobey God the way Adam did, but we still took on the very same heart that Adam, you know, basically gave to us. A heart that was still not towards God, but a heart that was only towards ourselves. So we did not sin in the way that Adam did. None of us sins in the same way. You know, even though, let's take Gary, for example, Gary, you know, may have an issue dealing with, let's say, with gluttony. What he is going through may not be something that I am going through. I may go through something else as far as like with drinking. I may drink too much. But they both fall under the category of sin. So therefore, from that standpoint, I cannot look at Gary any differently from I look at myself, because we both have still sinned. Even though Adam sinned against God directly, we also sinned against God directly, but also indirectly, because we were not told by God the same things that Adam was told. Adam was told directly from God not to eat of the tree. We were not told that. We were told something that you can say that is implied, but the same thing is not direct. So Adam's sin was not the same as ours. But if we look at verse 15, it reads, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." Now I'm going to stop at verse 21. "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all the men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, so even so might grace reign through righteousness even unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, I entitled this message New Identity, because what Jesus Christ did for us, we were no longer the same person once Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. Even though we may feel the same way, even though we may still kind of do the same things for now, okay, that we were doing when we first got born again, we were giving a new identity in Christ Jesus. Okay? The Word of God says that therefore we are new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So we can no longer see ourselves the way we used to see ourselves. The problem that we have is that we still identify ourselves as sinners. Even though we sin, we cannot identify. That cannot be our identity anymore. Because I cannot find in Scripture anywhere where God, after we have become born again, called us sinners. I could not find it anywhere. And even Jesus, you know, even he called us before he was taken to the cross. He called his followers light of the world, salt of the earth. And they were not yet born again. So we cannot identify ourselves the way the world is identified. Because if we identify ourselves that way, then how can we say or separate ourselves from them in any way? Because if we continue to see ourselves as sinners, not saying that we will not sin, because we will all the time. But if our identity is still the old identity, okay, then we are going to subconsciously not walk in the type of victory that God intended us to walk under. For example, these are some of the things that God called us. Salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13. Light of the world, Matthew 5:14. Joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8:16-17. Righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Saved and his workmanship, Ephesians 2:8-10. Redeemed, Galatians 3:13. Chosen, 1 Peter 2:9. His own, 1 John 4:4. And overcomers, 1 John 5:4. Even Jesus said that you cannot take new wine, put it into old wineskins, because it's going to bust. Nor can you take a new patch and put it onto an old garment, because it's going to tear. Okay, so we have to begin to identify and see ourselves exactly the way God sees us, because that is now who we are. We are hidden in Christ. So when he sees us, he does not see the same thing he sees when he sees the world. He sees Jesus, because we are hidden in Christ. So I know that there are many people who say that we are saved. We are sinners and yet we are saints. Now, there is a thing that is called law of non-contradiction, meaning that you can't be positive and a negative at the same time. You can't be wet and dry at the same time. You cannot take a clean glass of water and a dirty glass of water and put those glasses of water together and think that it's something that is not. It is going to be a dirty glass of water, even though the clean was mixed with it. It's still dirty, you know. So we have to be careful that we do not see ourselves in such a way that puts us in a position or a subconscious mindset that we begin to still excuse away why we sin and do certain things that we do. Because we love to say, hey, well, we are all sinners saved by grace. Because you may have done something you should not have done. Now you're trying to make yourself feel not so bad about it because you know you should not have done that in the first place. Now, Romans 6. I'm not going to read the whole thing, just certain parts of it. It reads, what shall we say then? Verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might not, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, I'm going to stop right here for a second. Go back to verse 6. Knowing this first, that our old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, in the book of 1 John, we find the word committed. Committed simply means that you are simply dedicated to doing this specific thing. It talks about being committed to sin. Believers are not to be committed to sin, meaning that we make it our aim. It is something that we want to do, and nothing's going to stop us from doing it. As believers, our mindset is to be that, yes, we will fail, we will make those mistakes, but our aim is always and always should be to not sin. That's the way that we are supposed to be living our lives. Now, let's go skip down to verse 17 and 19 in the same chapter. It reads, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members to servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield yourselves members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness." We are finding more often than not that we as believers must carry ourselves in such a way that this reflects our lives. Okay? We cannot allow ourselves to be servants to sin. Because if we allow ourselves to be servants to sin, we are no better than the people of the world. And I will say this, you might want to question whether or not you are truly born again. Because if you yield yourselves as servants to sin, you're basically yielding yourself to the enemy. You're becoming what he wants you to become instead of becoming what God wants you to become. Now, Paul on many occasions called us saints. I have not seen anywhere where Paul called people within the church sinners. For example, here are instances when Paul used the word saints as related to the church. Romans 1:7. I'm just going to read the scriptures. Romans 1:7. Matter of fact, let me go there. This is what he said in Romans chapter 7. It reads, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." In 1 Corinthians, first chapter as well, I'll go there. It reads, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 again. It reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on the same as in Ephesians 1, 1 and 2, Philippians 1, 1 and 2, Colossians 1 through 4 and verse 12, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 12 speaks of saints. Jude, verse 3, Revelations 5:8, Revelations 15:3. So all throughout Scripture, we are called saints. Not once, but we're called sinners. So we have to be careful when we use that word. We do not identify as people of the world. We're in the world, but we are not of the world. Okay, God pulled us away from those things, given us a new identity, called us sons, daughters. He called us things that relate to who he is. Because remember, he created us to be in his image and in his likeness. So when he sees us, though we do not see ourselves a lot of times the way scripture sees us, he does. Okay, when we wake up every morning, he does not look at us from day to day as sinners, but as his children. Not, like I said, once again, I'm not saying that we do not sin, because we do. Everybody here can identify with that. I would be foolish to stand here and say that, well, hey, we don't sin. That's not the issue. We do sin. But if we see ourselves in any other way other than the way God sees us, we are basically telling God, I don't believe what you say about me. You say I'm redeemed, but I don't see that. I'm a sinner. You say I'm a new creation in Christ. I don't see that. I see myself as a sinner. You know, so you have to be very, very careful when you are relating yourself and this new identity that you have to the old identity. You don't have that identity anymore. Okay, you're a new creature in Christ, joint heirs with God. You know, so let us go, if we could, to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And this is part of the reason as to why so many of us struggle with the new identity that we have in Christ. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Now here's the kicker. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The reason why we still struggle with so many sins that we struggle with becoming born again is because we do not renew our minds by the reading of the Word of God. Okay? That is very, very key. Now, if we think that we can accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, make that confession of faith, and never, never take the time to understand that you still have the same mind that you had when you first got born again. That hasn't changed. Okay? The problems that we have with our flesh is also the problems that we have with our old mind, our old way of thinking. Our bodies, okay, and the flesh, I think a lot of times when scriptures, or when a lot of people refer to us having a sin nature and a righteous nature, it's because they call the flesh a sin still, like the sin nature, that we are struggling with two natures. I do not believe, and I cannot understand how God would share a body with our old selves and then bring in the new self. Okay? If we're new creatures, we're new creatures. It means that we don't have a sin nature. We still have a sinful way of thinking. Our minds have not been renewed, because our bodies can't do anything without our minds telling us to do it. When it comes to let's just say fornication. Nobody fornicates without their mind being attached to it. No one becomes a glutton without their minds being attached to it. Nobody swears and all these things. You do all these evil and wicked things because you still have that same old mindset that you used to have. It clearly states here that we must renew our mind by the reading of the Word, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The perfect will of God for us is obedience, is loyalty, is being committed to Him, not committed to our old selves or our old nature. We are committed to a new way of life. In Psalms 119, 111, you don't have to go there. I'll just go there right quick. All right. I'm going to read these 11 verses. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. And I think these three verses right here are very key. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. His word, okay, is what it's going to take. That is what it's going to take. The word of God clearly states that only, God says, only he can keep us from sinning. And he keeps us from sinning by his word, by his commandment. We must develop a holy, righteous fear of God, a love for God that is going to keep us and help us to not live a life, okay, that is contrary to his word. Because it clearly states, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Let not sin reign. As sinners, okay, if you identify, you still identify yourself the way the world is identified, okay, you are going to easily keep doing these things because you're thinking that's just the way I am. I'm a sinner. I'm saved by grace, but I'm a sinner. So you are going to have that mindset to where you are going to continue to do those things that you are telling yourself that you are. Okay? You're going to sin, but why not say I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? I think I'd rather say that. I think I'd rather say that I am redeemed, bought by the blood of the Lamb. I think I would rather say that of myself. I think I'd rather say that I'm a joint heir with Christ, seated in heavenly places with Christ. I think I'd rather say that, you know. So, like I said, I'm not in any way saying that we don't fail and we don't make mistakes. I'm simply saying that we got to say of ourselves exactly what the Word of God says of ourselves and not what we think that we are. You cannot be both a sinner and a saint. That's a contradiction. You can't do it. You either one or the other. It's as simple as that. You either one or the other. Like I said, I do know that there are a group or there are a class of people that identify and say that, no, we're still sinners, you know. But even when we read, let me go back to Romans right quick, if I can read what Paul had said. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Let's start there. It says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, when you read these passages, okay, you cannot help but to think that he is referring to himself as still being like the world, as still being an individual who is struggling with sin. I don't say the world is struggling with sin, because when you're struggling with something, that means you're fighting against it. But he's basically saying that, hey, I am still like that. Okay. And that's where a lot of people always go to this when they want to try to prove, hey, that we're all still sinners, as opposed to not seeing ourselves the way God sees us. But if you go a little further down in verse 24 and 25, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who shall deliver me from this body of death? So there is right here, he's also saying that I can be delivered from this. This very same thing that we just read, Paul is also saying, I can be delivered. He's looking for a deliverer. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Okay? Because in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. What the scripture says? The spirit wars against the flesh. The flesh wars against the spirit. The problem is that the flesh is warring against the spirit. And a lot of us don't have any battle readiness to fight against the flesh because we don't have any word embedded in us. We have nothing embedded in us. We are still subjecting ourselves to the old way of living because we have not put in our minds a new way of thinking. That's as simple as that. You got a new way of thinking, your whole life changes. If you don't have a new way of thinking, do not expect your life to change. I think that's what they call insanity. If you do the same thing expecting a different result, that's insanity. It's no difference. That applies to every aspect of your life. You can't say you want to be debt free and yet and still you keep going out using that credit card like crazy. But yet you're saying you want to be debt free. Well, how are you going to be debt free if you keep using the credit card? You cannot say that you want your marriage to be a wonderful and blessed marriage, but every time your wife or your husband says something, you snap. You go off and you just go on a tangent. But you're saying that, I want to have a great marriage. Change your mindset. Change the way you do things and then you will have that great marriage. It's no different with God. If you want to have a great relationship with the Lord, you've got to change your mindset. You cannot go before the Lord with a mindset that you are a sinner. When you are coming before the Lord, he sees Jesus Christ. He sees his son. He sees in us what we sometimes don't see in ourselves. So when we approach the Father, we got to approach him correctly. We got to approach him as redeemed, a child of God, sanctified, which just simply means that it's a process that you're going through. He understands that you're going to fail. That's why in 1 John 1 says that if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. If we still identify ourselves as sinners, it would not say if. It would be when. When you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. That's our identity in Christ as believers. We must see ourselves exactly the way God sees us and no other way. So like I said, I'm not saying that you are not going to fail and you're not going to make mistakes. You're going to be failing and making mistakes all the way up until the day that Christ returns. Because you are battling the world, you're battling your flesh, and you are battling your true enemy. Principalities and powers and rulers over there. You're battling these three things every day, and you are going to trip up. You're going to fail, but at the same time, you are not under condemnation. So you get up, you brush yourself off, you continue to say of yourself what God says of you, what Jesus says of you, and you continue to move on. It makes you gain nothing by confessing with your mouth, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. You're not going to gain anything by saying that. Why don't you say, I'm a saint? Paul says it many times. In the book of Revelations, it says it. The prayers of the saints. It don't say it's the prayers of the sinners saved by grace. It says the prayers of the saints. So we only say of ourselves what God says of us. Nothing more, nothing less. That is it. I know that for many people, even people who may be listening by internet, it's just that for years we've always heard that. You know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. You know, but then if you're just a sinner, then you really can't open your mouth to anybody in the world about anything that pertains to righteousness. Because if they see you and you're professing to be the same thing that they are, they're going to say, well, you ain't no better than I am. What do you offer me? You're telling me to become something that I already am and that you are. That doesn't make any sense. Okay? In the kingdom of heaven, there will be no sinners. There will be no sinners in the kingdom of heaven. Only saints. Only those who are born again, blood bought, adopted into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That is who is there. If heaven is filled with sinners, then it may as well say heaven is going to be like the earth within a few hours. We have to see ourselves differently from the way the world is. If we see ourselves the same way the world is, how can we say not be conformed? You are conformed. You're still conformed to the world because you see yourself just like them. No sinner hates to sin. We're supposed to hate the things that God hates, love the things that God loves. If you sin and it doesn't bother you, question your salvation. You got to question that. Okay? You really have to take a close look at yourself. Because if the Spirit of God abides within us, okay, then we're supposed to yield, submit, and surrender to that Spirit and allow that Spirit to change us and make us to become more and more like Jesus. You have to have a hatred for the very same things that God have a hatred for. If the Spirit of God abides within you, you will develop that. The Word of God will drive out, it will drive out of your life any negative way of thinking. Because that's where it all begins. It begins in the mind. Everything begins with the mind. That's why the Word of God also says a double-minded man will receive what? Nothing from God. A double-minded man will receive nothing of the Lord. We must be spiritually minded at all times. You get up in the morning, you got to pray. You get up in the morning, you should read the Word of God. You're not saying that. Now, that's not like a command per se, but it's something that will help you throughout your day. If you just get up and just going about your day, then, you know, your chances are pretty high that you won't have that much of a successful day. You got to spend time with the Lord, and you got to get yourself in tune with the Spirit of God, because it's the Holy Spirit of God that's going to be with you to help you throughout your day. So having this new identity, okay, is something that you've got to focus on continually. It is the Word of God that keeps us from sinning. It is the fear of God that keeps us from sinning. It's as simple as that. So I'm going to end that right here. I think that we can have a better understanding and see why it's far more important to say of ourselves, use the word saints instead of using the word sinner. It's just not, it's more of a mind thing than anything else. Because if you call yourself a sinner, then you're always going to think, well, I'm just doing this thing because that's just who I am. I'm a sinner, but I'm going to heaven when I die. You know, got to be careful with that. Word of God clearly states, when many are going to say, I've done this in your name and done that in your name, because I never knew you. I never knew you. And they thought, I'm pretty sure, that, I was just a sinner. I was doing these things because you know I'm just a sinner. No, you're supposed to call yourself a saint. If you call yourself a saint, you're going to begin to start acting like one. But if you call yourself a sinner, you're going to start acting like one. You're still going to remain one. You still can continue to do the same things you've been doing, and you're not going to really want to, you know, put too much effort in living a righteous and holy life. And I've given you many scriptures that where God called us something other than a sinner. Simple as that. You know, he would not. I mean, can you imagine Paul writing these letters, and he started out, you know, he started out 1 Corinthians this way. Paul, called being apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be sinners with all that in every place, called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that doesn't sound right. You know, he goes to talk to the church at Philippians and say, you know, to the sinners of the church of Philippi. He doesn't say that. He say to the saints. Now, I'm pretty sure Paul won't say, well, I'm not saying none of y'all won't sin. You're going to sin. You're going to make mistakes, because only God is perfect. So one man walked this earth perfectly, and that's Jesus Christ. But I mean, you have to put things and look at things from and just put a different perspective on it. Just imagine if Paul addressed everybody that way. Y'all not but a bunch of sinners, all of you, but you're saints too. That doesn't sound right. That just doesn't sound right. How can I be a sinner and a saint? You know, I mean, how can I, you know, both be wet and dry? From last I understood, the word lukewarm meant that you're neither hot, you're neither cold. You take cold water, you mix it with hot water, what you get? Warm water. Okay? He said that's, you're lukewarm. If you are a saint and a sinner, you're basically lukewarm. You're going to do some good. You're going to do bad. You have a good nature. You have a bad nature. You're a lukewarm individual. And God said lukewarm, he's going to spit you out of his mouth. So you better say of yourself what God says of you. Don't go around saying that you don't sin, because you will. Just call yourself a saint. You know, I mean, I've had people who say they're born again and say, well, I'm not a saint. And that's your problem. You cannot say you're not a saint. You're saying that the Word of God is lying. It's calling you something that you are not. Like I said before, I mean, I knew I was going to be teaching this, teaching 3 weeks ago. And I took that time, and I carefully looked through Scripture to find out where it is direct that a believer is called a sinner. I couldn't find it. I found saints. I found plenty of places where it says you sin, but sin and sinners, those are two different things. One's an act, one's a person. A sinner loves the act of sinning. A saint will sin, but does not love the act. He hates it. She hates it. That's why when we do sin and we do fail, it grieves us on the inside. And we don't, sometimes we don't feel like praying. Why? Because we feel dirty. We don't feel like we can go to the Father. But that is the best time to go to the Father. You run to the Father when you say, he said, well, loving kindness have I drawn you. So it's a loving kindness of God that draws you back and forth to him over and over and over again. So when you sin, you don't run from the Father, you run to the Father, because he's the only one that can clean you. He's the only one that can get you right back where you need to be. Amen. All right. To everyone that's listening at internet, I hope that this message was inspiring to you. And I'd like to thank you for joining us this morning. All right. Have a blessed day.